Ray is going to preach this evening, and he's asked we read from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 35, and that portion of scripture in my Bible is entitled The Cost of Discipleship. And to be a disciple of Jesus does not come at no cost. It comes at a dear cost, but it is well worth the price that we pay, the cost that is there. Verse 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you, that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 28 there says about planning to build, to know what the cost is. And a number of years back, I became aware of a restaurant that somebody began to build, and they got the steel framework up, got the roof on it, and that's where it stopped. I don't know what the story is behind it, but there it has sat, at least that I'm aware of, for 12, 13 years. And every time I go by there, I think of this. So, with these words on our minds, let us kneel and as we pray.
It's good to see each of you here tonight. The title of our message is Characteristics of a Disciple of Christ, Counting the Cost. I want you to keep your Bibles open to Luke 14 because our main focus is going to be from there. Suppose I told you that since I'm retired, I plan to summit the highest mountains on each of the seven continents, and I plan to do it all in a year. What would you think of me? I'm gonna start in Asia on Mount Everest, 29,000 feet, and then I plan to go to South America, the mountain Aconcagua, and then go to North American continent, Mount McKinley, they used to call it Denali. And then I'm going to go to Africa, Mount Kilimanjaro, and so on. And then I'm going to finish the last continent on Australia, Putrajaya. Ray Mummert, the seven continent mountain climber. What do you think? You're thinking, well, Ray, what about your physical fitness? Ray, have you counted the cost of the money it's going to take? Ray, I know if you go, you would miss your wife, your children, your grandchildren, and you're going to turn around fast. Ray, you don't have that adventurous mindset. You're a pigeon hiller. You enjoy growing blueberries and gardening and homemade ice cream, and you're going to tire this quickly. You can't say, I am a mountain climber. Is that what you're thinking about me? I think most of you would say about your own personal life that you are a disciple of Christ. And you would stand up and declare, I am a disciple of Christ. What does God think about your statement? Are you? The lesson today is Jesus asking us to see if we have counted the cost of discipleship. Do we have the mindset of a disciple? This is the third part in a series on discipleship. Jesus had said some very difficult things about following him. The crowd that followed thought that being a disciple of Jesus was free. They got free food to eat sometimes. They had miracles for entertainment. And they could sit back and listen to a great prophet. But Jesus differed, and he turned around and spoke to them. He said to them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Discipleship would hurt relationships. Obeying Christ meant sometimes parents and siblings and children would be offended at you and your discipleship. They would oppose you. Jesus said you must hate them. And what he means by hate is you must put your love for Jesus higher than your love for family. And Jesus gave a second reality of discipleship in verse 27. And we covered this the last time. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. To bear your cross means that you chose to be executed. To bear your cross means you're willing to live a sacrificial life, a life of death to self, a life of bringing glory to God, a life that you will lay yourself down willingly to lift up Christ. And so Jesus defined discipleship in verse 26 and 27. And now in verses 28 to 32, what we're going to look at tonight, Jesus gives two illustrations that illustrate kind of like how this is done. Instead of defining it, he's going to illustrate it with two real-life possibilities. The first illustration focuses on a man building a tower. The second illustration focuses on a man going to war. And I noticed, first of all, that both of these illustrations are long-term events. Both of them are a man trying to achieve something very, very important. And they both involve a start. The start decides how things end. Let's look at the first illustration, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? So here we have the illustration of building a tower. And so this isn't like a normal house, just a hut. It's something large and expensive. And it takes time and it takes leadership to build it. And then verse 28, which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost. Now again, this is before it is built. Intending, in other words, deciding you want to build a tower. There is a mindset, a desire to build it. Now let's skip to the second, the account of a king who desired to defeat an enemy. Verse 31. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Again, notice it's before the war started. So we right away, we see two parallels. This is at the start of building, the start of going to war. It appears Jesus is saying, the key to finishing a building, the key to winning a war, is something that happens at the start. Next, we see the exact phrase in both illustrations. Both of them, it says, sitteth not down first. For which of you, verse 28, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost? Verse 31, or what king, going to make war against another, sitteth not down first and consulteth. The man who is to build, he has a start with sitting down and counting the cost. The king who is to go to the war, he starts with sitting and deliberating the possibilities. So both the tower builder and the king, in order to be successful, Jesus said they must both sit down, deliberate, calculate, and plan before they start. And Jesus gives plain language what's going to happen if they don't. At the start, the builder sits down and plans, he calculates, he adds up the cost. He tries to figure out what could go wrong to give him extra cost. And he figures and refigures and subtracts and adds. The king sits down and consults. What that word means is he deliberates. How many men he has. How many men the other king has. He counts his weapons. He plans the route of the war. He plans the weapons of the war. Much forethought and deliberation. So we see both of these illustrations are very close in structure. With both, Jesus emphasizes the goal to be achieved. It needs to start at the beginning. With both to succeed, they need to sit down and deliberate and plan. And then the parallels continue. Jesus in both, he emphasizes it will not end well if it doesn't start well. With the builder, he will not be able to finish if it doesn't start well. Verse 29 and 30, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And people are going to make fun of him. With the king, he also gives a possible sad ending if it doesn't start right. Verse 32, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. You know, to wage a war with a king you can't beat, well, when you have a peace treaty, it's definitely not going to be in your favor. The treaty will highly favor the opposing king. So what is Jesus saying to us? I believe he's saying a disciple of Christ starts by sitting down and having a mindset to complete the Christian life, come persecution and turmoil and weariness in serving him. The new disciple will count the cost and deliberate the needs and say, I will serve my Master Jesus Christ faithfully to the end. Do we remember what he said in verse 26 and 27? If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You need to sit down first and count the cost. When Satan attacks, when family oppresses our Christian walk, it's not like we can then make a decision to win. The battle is won at the start. Where are we? Did we ever count the cost of discipleship? Jesus is saying, if you don't, it's not going to end well. If you don't, you will fall. You will forsake Jesus. You will turn away. These two illustrations, they're all about discipleship. Because verse 26 to 28 is about discipleship. And the next verse, 33, says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So what is Jesus saying to us? I'd like to look at six things Jesus is saying about discipleship. And I have these in question form. First, he asks us, have we started our journey with faith? Sitteth not down first. Success for the builder comes by sitting down and thinking. Success for the king comes by first sitting down and deliberating. It wasn't their actions that brought success. Rather, their mindset determined their actions. When sitting, when calculating, when planning, that is what determined their actions in the future that brought success. And I believe, I interpret this reference to sitteth not down first is a reference to the Christian and his start of having an authentic faith in God. Our faith in God is the starting point of true discipleship. We love Abram's action. He chose to travel where God told him. He chose to believe a son would be born to him. He did all the right things, but it all started with his faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went." It was his faith. At the start, he knew God. At the start, he trusted God as Lord. He endured the cost. He deliberated his life with God. And actions follow. And God used him to build a great nation. But it all started with his faith. It all started with his faith. A mindset that affected his actions. He believed God and trusted him. He saw God as a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And with this faith, sitting down, it was reflected his state of mind. He started his journey. A disciple of Jesus has that starting point. God brings them to a point where they acknowledge him as both Savior and Lord. And God brings them to complete trust and complete surrender. A disciple in the beginning is convicted that God is truly God and demands our full surrender to him, his will, in holiness and sacrifice and surrender. All disciples have a point where they sit down at the start and count the cost. Have you? Do you remember a time where this faith started your journey? Did you first sit down? Or did you jump into Christianity without counting the cost? You know, Noah had that sit down with God, and we see what he accomplished. Moses had that sit down with God, and we see him having the mindset of faith and leading. And if our faith is lacking, our actions will be lacking. We will not hate family. We will not die to self. We will not bear the cross. The second thing Jesus is saying to me is, why not have that sit down now? He is encouraging each of us to sit down and deliberate the future. He invites us to do it, even if we started our journey with him years ago. If you had been a Christian for years, but never been a disciple. I'm glad that faith isn't a once and done thing. In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And emphasize both, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Daily, I am to have that sit down. Daily establish myself in a deeper faith in him. Daily decide I will follow him as a disciple of his. When a Christian calls himself or herself a disciple, but never had that sit-down mindset of faith, that person will listen to family instead of when God calls them. They will wilt when they are persecuted. They will serve self instead of God. They will want others to bear their cross, but they will not be willing to do it. Are we a disciple of Christ? We mentioned similarities between the two illustrations. We see both the start is at the beginning, the start of building, the start of going to war. They both begin with sitting down. The mindset of being prepared and willing for the future, the cost of building and what is needed, the deliberation and plans for warfare. But as we look deeper at the meaning, we see these stories kind of divulge. The one is about building, the other is about destroying. The one about building something beneficial and needed, the other is about destroying an enemy. And what is Jesus telling us about the duty of discipleship in building and destroying? I believe in the illustration of the tower, Jesus is asking us as a disciple, will you commit yourself to build the kingdom of God? And with the illustration of the king at war, he is asking me, will you, Ray, as a disciple, fight against Satan, the enemy? Build, destroy. Build up God's kingdom, destroy, declare war on the enemy, Satan. So let's look at the third question Jesus asked. As disciples, will you help build the kingdom of God? It involves faith. Because things in the kingdom of God are opposite the kingdom of this world. To build the kingdom of God, many times you will need to hate family, which means you will esteem God's view over their view. Building the kingdom of God will mean family and friends and acquaintances will think that you're not wise. And it's going to bring hurt feelings. Building the kingdom of God, it's going to require you to carry that ugly cross. For Christ's sake, you're going to die to every want, die to every desire and ambition. And instead, you're going to choose to follow Christ, follow his will, and follow his ambitions. Building the kingdom of God as a disciple means pouring yourself out yourself into the vessel of Christ. Every drop of your life is going to be given to serve Christ. As a disciple, you identify with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. Your faith, the mindset you gained at the beginning when you sat down, that mindset guides you. As a believer, you counted the cost. You were willing to give all yourself, all your money, all your time, all of self to build the kingdom of Christ. Have you given up your passions to be in his likeness? What tower have you been building? Is it a tower of Babel? You build to lift up self. You build your finances. You build your power base. You build your self-pursuits. Or have you in true faith counted the cost and said, Lord, here I am. Use me to build the kingdom of God. In Mark 1, we see the calling of some of the disciples. They gave up their career. They left their family. They sacrificed their lives. Jesus calleth you. Are we disciples? Did we ever sit down, have that sit down, and believe that Jesus is worth giving it all? Faith that serves him and will die for him. Do we ever have that sit down? Did we count the cost? Did we deliberate? We build the kingdom of God by bearing the cross of Christ, which is dying to self. By using our time, our precious time, to serve him. By spreading the gospel. By caring for God's people. By caring about the neighbors around us that are lost. By being crucified with Christ. By giving our loyalty and allegiance to King Jesus over the kings of this world. By saying, not my will, but thine been done. Have we been building the kingdom of God as disciples? The fourth question that Jesus asked us about being a disciple, are you willing to wage war against the evil one? Luke 14, verse 31. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? The king, in this illustration, it represents you as a believer serving as a king in the kingdom of God under the authority of our supreme leader, King Jesus. Another king represents the enemy, Satan, and his evil forces that are trying to destroy the kingdom of God. And the application is that a true disciple, he's going to sit down at the beginning, and he will discern and determine that he is going to resist Satan with all the might, his might through the power of God. And even though it's time consuming and it's spiritually bloody and it takes a lot of thought and might, the disciple will acknowledge it's going to happen and he's going to determine to fight. And actually, this is part of our baptism vow. Do you willingly renounce Satan and all his pernicious ways? We say that. We're asked that. If we're going to be at baptism, if that person is getting baptized, if they as a king are going to fight the opposing king. Scripture gives us references about the fight. 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. In other words, this warfare as a disciple is so important that God has given us divine weapons to use in the warfare. Ephesians 6 gives vivid detail of the degree of battle we're going to be engaged in. Ephesians 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You as a king that's going to war, you are to put on the armor of God against Satan. In verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the weapons that are listed are faith and truth and righteousness, the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the word of God. To make war takes time and commitment. To seek righteousness and the word and truth, it means having a strong faith daily. Where are we? Are we fighting? Are we deliberating? And then verse 18 in Ephesians, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication to Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. See, you, the king, cannot win against the enemy Satan without praying much to the true king for the victory over the evil one. As a disciple, how much time and commitment do we have in this war? A true disciple will need to decide he will war with all his might through God's power. I can call myself a gardener. But unless I have a mindset at the start that I'm going to spray for insects and spray for blight, and that I will wage a war against rabbits and groundhogs and raccoons and deer, unless I have that at the start, you will hardly be able to call me a gardener. Because those, I guess you could say, those that pass by would mock my garden. Many Christians are at peace with the enemy. They don't fight the evil king. They don't study the word. We only attend church once a week. We are content to make the world our homes. We don't lift a brick to build the kingdom of God. Let others lift the bricks. Luke 14, 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Questions from Jesus. Did you ever start your journey with faith? Why not have that sit-down moment today? Will you build the kingdom of God? Are you willing to daily wage war against the evil one? The fifth question we have, will you serve as one who has counted the cost? The builder saw what was ahead and he made a decision. The king saw what was ahead and he made a decision. I see in these two illustrations that the builder anticipates hard times. He anticipates problems. Anticipated prices going higher. He anticipated mistakes by the laborers that would hike the cost. I can see that the king also anticipated. They both anticipated. He anticipated the problem of low morale in the army, the problem of needing more weapons. He anticipated the problem of a surprise attack. They both early on calculated, deliberated, anticipated these issues. As disciples of Christ, we must anticipate. We can know what to expect if we read any history. The true disciple of Christ will be persecuted. I mean, Jesus said that. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We anticipate that the king will attack. We anticipate temptations that would overtake us unless we had the Spirit in us intervene. We anticipate much toil building the kingdom of God. We anticipate much stress. We anticipate we're going to get weary as we labor for God and his kingdom. As a disciple, do we anticipate these things? It's at the beginning we need to. We see that the builder and the king, they also had a mindset of conviction. The builder, he continued committed to his task. The king continued committed to his task. As disciples, are we committed to King Jesus? Does our allegiance to him sway our focus and commitment? I thought of a compass. A compass will follow a magnet as you move it from side to side, one side of the compass to the other. And a disciple will always be influenced, swayed, moved by his allegiance to the King of Kings, to Jesus Christ. This is the first and highest commitment of the disciple. It is your main. If our main allegiance is to our family or to your job or to your career or your hobbies or your possessions, then we're just fake disciples. Only those who hate mother and father, those who bear the cross, and those who crucify self, only those can be my disciple. Jesus summarizes these two illustrations in the next verse, verse 33. So likewise, so he's connecting it with the illustration. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. To build the tower, you will need to forsake anything that may be that you held higher than the tower. For war against the evil king, your other life pursuits will have to be laid down to a degree, and your main focus will be the war. Lay them down, pick up your cross, and follow me. Jesus says plainly, if you don't do that, you cannot call yourself a disciple. The sixth and final question is, why would you not choose to be my disciple considering the end? Why would you not consider being a true disciple considering the end? Verse 29 and 30, lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it beginneth to mock him. That is an end possibility. The builder was mocked. Verse 32, another end possibilities. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. He ended up having to surrender in part with a peace treaty that favored the enemy. We can choose to not be a true disciple of Christ. But what will the end be? Jesus answers that in the next verse, Luke 14, verse 34. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but man cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The end of a pretend disciple is to be cast out. 850, that's the number. That's how many people died in the last 50 years attempting to scale the highest mountains on each continent. 850 people have died climbing the highest mountain on each of the seven continents. They died, but you have to give them credit. They had the mountain climbing mindset. At one time, they sat down and they counted the cost. They anticipated, and they were definitely committed to the task. But all the people around the world who thought about mountain climbing but never developed the mindset, they never committed, they never acted, never call them a mountain climber. I'm not a mountain climber. Are you a disciple of Christ? Did you ever start the journey with faith? Did you consider having that sit-down moment today? Will you help build the kingdom of God? Will you, as a king in God's kingdom, fight the enemy king? Will you serve as one who counted the cost? Why would you consider not being a disciple when you consider the end?